This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. There's a very sexy, very wicked, very ruthless bad girl in the new film noir, The Last Seduction. New York Times film critic Janet Maslin described it as a devilishly entertaining crime story with a heroine who must be seen to be believed. In a few minutes, we'll meet the movie's star, Linda Fiorentino. The Last Seduction was directed by John Dahl, whose previous film was The Sleeper, Red Rock West. The Last Seduction was written by my guest Steve Baranczyk. It's his first screenplay. The story is about a woman named Bridget Gregory who manipulates her husband into a risky drug deal, then steals the money, skips town, and finds a new mark. But when we first meet her, she's a steely, heartless supervisor at a telemarketing company.
I can't hear you people. Maggots sound like suburbanites. $50 for a lousy coin set, you sell one at a time. Got $100 for the next sucker who makes a triple sale.
A minute, 50 seconds, Bernie. You expect these leaves to grow on trees? Want me over your shoulder all day, Bernie, huh? Ask for the sale 4 times every time. Got it?
You got 20 seconds to close it, Bernie. 15.
We are offering.
Come on your tail, Bernie. 5.
Now that's less than $4.
4.
A price that would be stupid to pass up. You'd have to be branded.
I understand you worked in telemarketing yourself. Did you get any inspiration for your film from your own experiences?
Got plenty of inspiration for it. I was never in an operation that bad, but I heard tell of them. I knew people who had been in them. And all it was exaggerating what I had experienced. The management is rather brutal in that environment. You're standing over your people, and exhorting would be the kind way to put it, what you're doing to them. You're just keeping them from slacking off because you need a certain amount of revenue per hour in order to justify their existence.
So what did you draw on in your experiences telemarketing in creating the character of Bridget?
I think I drew on a sales mentality. I don't think there is a moment in this movie when she isn't thinking like a salesperson, whether it's telemarketing sales or otherwise. She is always trying to sell something to another character, whether it's killing someone, whether it's doing a drug deal. She's always trying to get other people to do something for her, and that's a form of sales.
Did you learn any of the techniques she uses by being in sales yourself for a while?
Yeah, I learned some of them. I have to add that I'm an awful salesperson. My wonderful wife is a salesperson and a sales manager, and I keep my hand in sales by hearing her adventures every day. Salesmanship is something that doesn't come to everybody, and people that do know it sometimes have trouble turning it off. Or don't want to turn it off because there's so many other places in life that you can be selling, even if it's not, here's a product, give me some money. But you're selling an idea. You're selling somebody else on doing some work for you. You're selling someone else on your opinion. I think I'm just very familiar with the sales mentality.
Now, I don't want to give away any of the twists and turns in this movie, but suffice it to say that you come up with some, pretty interesting double crosses. How did you figure them out for the movie? I'm going to make the assumption that you don't have a lot of experience with this in person.
Okay.
Was that a fair assumption?
That's a fair presumption. It's hard to think of. And without talking about the movie, I can tell you where the movie started. The movie started with the premise that someone could, or where I started writing the movie, was with the premise that you could access credit reports and find a class of people, women specifically, who were likely to want their husbands killed, which of course enters into the story. The movie starts with telemarketing, but I actually started with telemarketing in the middle of the movie where that happens.
What was the inspiration behind sitting down and writing a movie?
Failure. Failure in short story writing, a very limited publication, 2 unpublished novels. I had just taught a class in screenwriting without really knowing anything about teaching screenwriting or screenwriting itself. And when I finished teaching the class, I decided it was time to give it a crack myself. So I was looking for a screen story.
The dialogue is wonderful in a new film. And, you know, particularly the Linda Fiorentino character just has, like, the perfect retort or sarcastic put down for everything that comes her way. You wrote those lines for her. Can you do that in real life?
Yeah, I can do it, but people are going to have to wait 5-6 minutes for an answer out of me. That's what appeals to me about the writing, is just being able to get the line right. And if realism's out the window because no one could be that clever all the time, I don't care. It's what I love reading. It's what I love hearing. I just love to always hear a phrase turned perfectly as I can turn it. And let's face it, we don't have enough time in conversation normally to come up with the best way of saying things. That's what appeals to me about writing movies, is taking the time to find it and then giving the character those words. And the end result is, I don't think people say, oh, that's unrealistic. I think what people infer is, hey, that is one intelligent person, because I can't imagine myself coming up with a line that quickly.
Any moments in the film you're particularly proud of?
You ask about dialogue. There's one line of dialogue I love, and I don't think it stands out. It's when Peter says to Linda, he says, murder is commitment, because she's maintaining she's committed to the relationship. She's shown commitment, but he hasn't. And Peter says, murder is commitment. And Linda says, when I've done it and you haven't, it is. Which is just, it sounds like a very simple sentence, but I can't imagine getting it out properly in conversation. And it's, I just love the sound of it.
Oh, and then she says something like, you said you wanted commitment, and commitment should mean more than just sex, shouldn't it?
Right, that's sort of the theme of the movie.
Steve Baranczyk wrote the screenplay for the new film, The Last Seduction. We'll meet the star, Linda Fiorentino, after this break. This is Fresh Air. Linda Fiorentino might generate a cult following after her performance in the new film, The Last Seduction. New York Times film critic Janet Maslin says Fiorentino plays a hot, slinky monster. Her performance is flawlessly hard-boiled, and she exults in the sheer wickedness of the character. Fiorentino made her film debut opposite Matthew Modine in Vision Quest, and also appeared in Martin Scorsese's After Hours and Alan Rudolph's The Moderns. Fiorentino describes her character of Bridget, a.k.a. Wendy, as an ambitious, immoral person in pursuit of a better life who will stop at nothing to get it. Her tool for getting it is her sexuality. I asked Fiorentino what she related to in this character.
I think she has a very keen ability to recognize the weakness in others. I think what she does that's different than what I do is abuse that power. I think I'm more compassionate than Bridget in that respect. But I do think she recognizes someone's weakness and, you know, she knows where the buttons are and she knows how to push them. And I think I have that quality, or I have had that quality at certain times in my life.
So did you model the character on partly on yourself and partly on other people you know?
I think I modeled her on some men that I've met more than anything. I mean, I've been hard put to find a woman like Bridget. You know, there are, particularly in Hollywood, there are strong, ambitious, powerful women. But it just didn't seem enough. It just seemed like I needed to take her a step further. So I started looking to men for the answer.
And what did you find from them that you incorporated into the character?
There's a key scene for me where she's been sleeping with Peter Berg, and there's a scene that follows a montage of sex scenes where he's trying to get to know her better, and she's walking through the house putting her clothes on just the way a man would zip his fly. And, it, you know, for me, that was a pivotal scene, and also on a personal level, because I know almost every woman I've known and I myself have played that scene out in our real lives with men. in reverse. You know, I want to get to know you better. I want more. I want to get closer to you. So for me, that was, you know, it was fun to be able to play the male part in that scene. And I think there are a lot of scenes like that in the film. And at first, I wasn't sure how to play that scene, so I started asking other men, there's a slip for you. I asked men, like, what bothers them the most about women, and invariably, it was, you know, they always want to get to know you better, and they're always touching you and trying to get closer, and they just don't leave you alone, and that's how Peter and I played the scene, you know, in reverse.
Why don't we hear the scene?
I'm having more and more trouble with this, Wendy.
Don't worry, you'll get the hang of it.
I mean, you're keeping me at arm's length all the time. I'm starting to feel like some kind of a...
sex object.
Yes, exactly. A sex object.
Live it up.
Why don't you just stay over?
I gotta get back.
Well, then I can come over. That's fine.
My place, my space, Mike. Don't get sticky.
What are you so scared of, huh? What are you so scared of?
I don't know. I guess it's because I've been hurt before. I don't want to get close to anyone right now. You're different than the others, Mike. I feel like, maybe I could love you. I don't want that to happen, really. Will that do? F***ing doesn't have to be anything more than f***ing.
I'm not asking for love, all right?
Wise man.
We could talk. You could talk to me. I'd like to talk.
So talk.
Who's listening?
In your roles, you've seen how powerfully you can use sexuality in character to get men to behave the way you want them to.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing how well you can pull that off in character, do you ever try to do that as yourself?
All women do.
See, I don't think that's really true.
I do. All men do.
See, I don't think everybody thinks of themselves as having sexual power.
I don't think it's a conscious choice. I mean, I think it's more visceral than that. I think we all, I see human beings as very sexual, and it's a part of our makeup. And I think we all use that, whether we want to admit it or not, and whether we want to accept that or not. I think we all do. I don't think you can avoid it.
So do you think of yourself as being very sexy?
No, I think of other people thinking of me as being very sexy.
I see. Okay. So how did you decide what to wear in the movie? Was it your call, or did you work with a costume person?
No, actually, I worked with a wonderful costume designer named Terry Dresbeck, who taught me a lot about using costumes to help the character, to help create the character. And what she did, which was different than other costume designers I'd worked with, is she created a wardrobe for the character as opposed to saying, I want her to look this way. And there were days when we would just pick something out of the closet, depending on what mood I was in or the mood I thought Bridget was in, which is a very interesting way to work because you're not panicked about, you know, how you're going to look in the movie. You know, it's just the wardrobe was there and it created the character. It helped create the character.
Now, what interested me in your wardrobe is here's this, you know, very sexy mm-hmm. woman, but she's wearing basically business suits mm-hmm. with heels and short skirts, but still they're business suits, and in a way you could say they're power clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're not clothes designed to show cleavage or they're certainly not kittenish.
Well, it's also, we've already seen the movie, but if you see it again, there was a very specific choice that Terry and I made where I wear skirts up until a certain point. And once I find out Peter Berg's secret, his ultimate weakness, I start wearing pants.
Oh, I didn't
and
notice
it, it was,
that.
It's a
true.
Very specific choice. So that from that point to the end of the film, I'm wearing pants.
Very interesting. Now, you smoke a lot of cigarettes in the movie.
No, isn't that terrible?
Now, all through movie history, cigarettes have been used as a dramatic prop.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel you use them that way in the movie?
For me, I wanted her, you know, the two things that I wanted to give her that would show that this woman is not as much in control as one would think are the cigarettes. I mean, that's a compulsive act.
On her
and
nails.
She bites her nails.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, and it was very strange. It wasn't even very specific. I thought about it after the fact. I was like, well, why did I choose to do that? And then I realized that's what I was doing. It was, you know, my way of saying this woman isn't that much in control, and she does have her little weaknesses, too.
No, I think some women might see this movie and think, oh, this is a dangerous stereotype of women as being oversexed and using their sexuality as a tool to manipulate men. What would you say to somebody who saw this film as, you know, as a negative stereotype?
I would say the thing about Bridget that I like, I mean, although I do find her abominable, I mean, this is not a person I would want to be friends with, you know. The one thing I liked about her character is that she doesn't apologize for who she is. She's saying, the world created me this way. I grew up during a time when I was inundated with feminist literature and, you know, the world made me this way. It's not my fault that I behave this way now. And she doesn't apologize for herself. But it's not, I mean, I don't want little girls to, you know, watch this movie one day and think, oh, I want to grow up and be Bridget Gregory. I mean, I think she's the anti-hero or heroine, so to speak.
So do you see this character as being the result of feminism?
Yes. I mean, I think she personifies the backlash of feminism. It's like, you know, I don't know about you, but I grew up, you know, with my mother and every female teacher I had telling me, be independent, you know, have your own money, don't depend on a man emotionally. And I think that she, Bridget, personifies that whole idea. And it's also, you know, women started behaving like men in order to find themselves being equal to men, or they thought that was the way to be equal to men. And I think she addresses that notion. And it's also like saying, you know what, for me anyway, you don't have to behave like a man to be a strong, independent woman.
Well, I think if anything, this character is somebody who would be the representation of the sociopath's mm-hmm. interpretation of what feminism is.
Exactly. I mean, she's an exaggerated version of, you know, of the grown woman of a girl who grew up during that era.
My guest is Linda Fiorentino, the star of the new film noir, The Last Seduction. More in a minute. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Linda Fiorentino. She plays the wicked, sexy villain in the new film noir, The Last Seduction. Now, I know that you worked for a while as a bartender. What did you learn as a bartender about handling men?
The only thing I really learned as a bartender was how to steal money from people who were too drunk to leave a proper tip.
How would you do that?
Just wait until they were drunk enough and, you know, just slide my hand across the bar and take a few extra dollars for myself and my partner. It's almost a tacit agreement you enter into between the patrons and the bartenders.
Now, what did you learn about talking with attitude? I mean, did you have to, like, talk tough to some people or...
Not really.
No,
I didn't do it for a very long time.
Oh, okay.
Also, my partner behind the bar was a man, so I took care of the girls for him, and he took care of the boys for me.
I see.
Teamwork.
What did he have to take care of for you, and what did you have to take care of for him?
Well, if, you know, somebody was being obnoxious, I would just send him over, you know, to take care of them. And if a girl was hitting on him too hard, I would go over and pretend I was his girlfriend. It was kind of fun. He happened to be Bruce Willis, by the way.
Are you kidding?
No.
You worked a bar together?
Yes.
When was this?
Oh, a long time ago.
Was he a good bartender?
He was a great bartender.
Now, you've said that you come from a very moral Catholic family. You went to Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
What does your family think of the roles you've been taking?
Well, I think they're proud of me and happy that I've been able to make a living at what I'm doing, particularly since they were a little disappointed when I chose to switch careers after college and study acting in New York. You know, my father had spent all this money sending me to a nice private school in Philadelphia so that I would go to law school. And then one day I said, well, Dad, I'm not going to law school. I'm going to go to acting school. So he was very disappointed, and he did try to talk me out of it. But as soon as I got my first job, you know, like, my baby, my daughter. The sexual stuff is difficult for them, but they handle it very well with me. I'm not sure how they handle it for themselves because I'm not there when they're alone. But one time, I don't know if you recall the movie The Moderns, there's this brutal scene in a bathtub with John Lone and myself, and my father went to an industry screening of the movie with, you know, a couple of members of my family and other people. And when that scene was playing, he jumped up. He was so uncomfortable. He jumped out of his chair and he just, you know, tried to distract the entire audience so they wouldn't watch me on film having sex in a bathtub with John Lone. Anybody want popcorn? You know, and he just tried to get in the way of the entire audience. It was very funny.
Were you there?
I was outside, so I didn't have to handle, you know, I didn't, you know, I heard about it. And he came out and bought M&Ms.
Were you embarrassed?
I thought it was very funny.
Linda Fiorentino stars in the new movie, The Last Seduction.